You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
You would have heard a little earlier on before we spoke to the SIU that 91 does all of their investing in an effort to invest in a world of change. And as a result of that, there have been some serious initiatives from 91, but also from the G20 ministers, the finance ministers gathered recently to outline the hopes of just energy transitions, amongst other things, and there were a lot of commitments that were made, and hopefully these promises will come to light soon, especially where it relates to emerging markets. I'm joined on the line by the Chief Sustainability Officer at 91, Nazmira Mulla, to take a look at the latest developments from the G20. Good evening, Nazmira. Thank you so much for taking the time. You were in attendance at this particular gathering of the G20 ministers. What was the sentiment and what was on the agenda?
Good evening. Thank you for having me. Look, the actual meetings are closed door. This is not COP where everything's open to everyone. But we participated in a few things on the side. And I think this Brazil chairing the G20 is very much bringing the discussion on how climate change is dealt with at the global level. And their particular focus is around how they deal with limiting deforestation and how there are perhaps regional transfers to support that. And that is a different context to the just energy transition to the one we're dealing with in South Africa, but is another important piece of the same puzzle.
You mentioned the COP gathering, and obviously at COP26, South Africa was the first country in the world to be trialed for the Just Energy Transition Partnership. Now, many would argue that that has some strategic benefits, but also doesn't bode well for a country looking to industrialize that's still heavily reliant on coal. But we do obviously need to have these conversations, the conversation between decarbonization and industrialization and finding that balance. What are your thoughts on that?
I think the point we need to bear in mind is the cheapest source of electricity right now, new electricity, if you're putting it in the ground, is renewable energy. It's a fair bit cheaper to build new renewables than it is to build new coal. So if the question is, should South Africa, which is energy short, look to very rapidly decommission coal-fired power stations, not ahead of their decommissioning dates. I think the issue is that South Africa has really old coal-fired power stations, which are now getting to the point where it's going to be enormously expensive to make the maintenance capex required to extend their natural lives. Mm. So that's the trade-off here. It's aligned for me rather than in conflict. The commercial rationale is, it's expensive to extend old coal-fired power stations' lives because lots of capex is required and your cheapest source now is renewables.
Speaking of commercial viability, when we look at the affordability of decarbonization or of the transition, it's obviously not something that emerging markets can readily afford. In fact, I think only China might be one of the, if not the only country that can afford to finance their own transitions. And I suppose this is where the transition debt initiative comes into place here.
And I think the word instead of afford is has the capital to self-finance. Because what we'd hope is that these investments around the energy transition are commercially viable, that they can actually cover their cost of capital and be incrementally accretive, both at the national level to GDP, but at the individual project level. It's just that the savings pool may not necessarily be big enough to fund the quantum of investment required. And that's the IEA's finding at this point. China is the only emerging markets, in their view, that has sufficient capital to self-finance its energy transition.
Mm. And as a result of that, there were some commitments that were made towards energy transition, particularly in emerging markets. I mean, $400 million, or just under 7.5 billion rand, is quite a significant amount from a commitment perspective. But as we know, for all emerging markets to transition, in fact, that's probably just what South Africa needs alone. There's certainly a lot more that needs to be done, but this is a first step in the right direction.
That's exactly it. I mean, that's not even enough for South Africa. this is the starting point. And what we were aiming to do is to have institutional investors, primarily in the developed world, but a little bit further afield. We want to be able to introduce them to the emerging market energy transition in a form that makes commercial sense and delivers real world climate impact. And we would hope that as they become increasingly familiar, see the fact that they can achieve attractive risk-adjusted returns while still getting climate benefits, you'll see the quantum of investment in the space increasing. Because currently, most institutional investors are not very familiar with the types of capital that will be required for this transition. And what I mean by that is it's not going to be financed through the public listed equity market or by sovereign borrowings, only it needs private capital, private debt, private equity, project debt, and then also corporate debt.
Mm. Nazmira, when we look at the specific projects, obviously the transition is outlined across three key areas for transition. What do those three areas look like, and what sorts of projects are we looking to get off the ground in earnest?
So there are three areas that we are looking at including in the strategy. And the first is the new green infrastructure, which is the bit we've already been discussing. So it's the new renewables, but it'll also include storage to some extent. And where relevant, as is the case in South Africa, is the grid build-out that's required. The second aspect is the new green technology. So this is, for example, new greener building materials, could be electric vehicle related investment or charging stations. So that's the second one. And then the third one is the decarbonization investment by currently high emitting companies to reduce their emissions from their operations. So it's across those three aspects.
Nazmira, when we look forward to next year, I mean, you mentioned this year that, of course, Brazil was hosting the G20 ministers and Brazil was chairing the particular gathering. Next year is South Africa's turn. Have there been any commitments that you are aware of that would need to be put in place, or that we might have gone to this gathering and said, this is what we want to do, or this is what we'll do, and we'll check in with you next year when it's our turn to host?
As I said, this is a closed door set of discussions. I mean, when this was introduced, this is not only a climate discussion. So COP is very much solely focused around climate, whereas the G20 will be dealing with, and this was a meeting of the G20 finance ministers, central bank governors, and the deputies for both finance and central banks. And so they will be dealing with all systemically relevant issues globally. So in addition to the climate discussion, there would also have been discussions around the impact of rising of the relatively high level of US interest rates, concerns around what the economic outlook looks like. So it's a nuanced discussion, which unfortunately I was not privy to all the details of.
Mm. Nazmira, as we wrap up the conversation, I want to look at, obviously, we've touched on the role of business and the role of capital in deploying into these sorts of projects. 91 has been very clear and very vocal around the need for this sort of transition to take place, but not just this transition, greater sustainability. And I know I've had this conversation as well with the CEO, Hendrik de Toy, around that as well. From a business perspective, is 91 opening up your strategic relationships and your strategic network to expanding on these initiatives? Because the understanding is obviously that you as a business are one of the custodians of the funds or the project initiatives that will be put forward. Is 91 looking to then say, let's do this as an industry, let's do this as a country with all the stakeholders and all our relationships?
So let me make sure I understand correctly. Are you asking if we would be looking at supporting projects and then making the ability to invest in those projects more open to other investors, or is it something bigger than that?
No, that's exactly it.
We are always happy to co-invest with others. You know, we aren't of the view that our capital alone is sufficient. Whether, I mean, as we discussed earlier on, $400 million is a substantial amount of money, but the IEA estimates that by 2030, emerging markets are going to need $1 trillion a year spent on their energy transition. So in that context, we have to partner. If I give you South Africa's numbers, it's the same sort of quantum. Is South Africa is going to require over 100 billion rands invested in its energy transition on a regular basis. So we are very happy to partner with all that are interested in this, because we believe that this is a thematic tailwind that is the best opportunity South Africa has to revive our growth prospects over the medium term.
There we have it, folks. Opportunities to revive growth, but also to ensure that we transition into a cleaner, more sustainable working environment and living environment. Thanks so much for those insights, Nazmira. That's Nazmira Muller, Chief Sustainability Officer at 91, joining me to reflect on the Emerging Market Transition Debt Initiative that was presented at the latest gathering of G20 countries.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.